Welcome back to Find Your Amazingness podcast. It's Vera, your host here with Camila, who we will be talking about manifestation and the science behind manifestation and money and all these super juicy, interesting topics with. Welcome, Camila.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I'm so happy to have you here. And you are a mental and emotional health coach, and I would love for you to tell a bit more about what you do and why do you do it?
Yeah, I am. And I'm sorry in advance that my chair is a little squeaky. So if you hear any squeakiness, it's the chair I'm sitting on. I apologize in advance.
That's all right.
Yes, I am a mental and emotional health coach. And the reason I am that is it goes back. It goes back. I've always been interested in psychology and the way we humans are and how we think and how we feel. And I realized through my own experience with anxiety that healing cannot just come from the mind. You also need the body, and it needs to be somatic as well as in the brain. And that's where the emotional bit comes in, because I think everyone has heard of like mental health, but like emotional health, like what? But the body is complex, and we need both in order to not just heal experiences like anxiety and depression and trauma and things like the heavy stuff like that, but also in order to just grow and evolve. And I think that people listening to this podcast would be interested in like personal development and, like you said, like manifestation. And we need both in order to achieve that. So that's where that comes in. And yeah, the story of why I started that is long. And I don't think that I always knew exactly where I was going with everything I was doing, with all the studying I've done, all the work that I've done has kind of led me here. But at the same time, it wasn't always a deliberate kind of, this is where I'm ending up and I'm doing all these things to come here. I experienced a lot of things. I studied a lot of things. And then I put them all together and I was like, I have something to offer. I have something to teach. I have something to give to people that I have accumulated along the way. And I want as many people as possible to know this. And that's kind of how I ended up here. That's the short version of it.
I want a little bit longer version of it. I would love for you to share a little bit of your background of, because you've studied so many different things and you have such an interesting background, but also I know you have, even from like back from your childhood, some interesting experiences that have led you to this situation that you're at right now. And yeah, so let's go back a little bit. You can dive a little bit deeper into your background.
Yes. Okay, let's go all the way back. So when I was little, I used to have experiences, and I'm talking kindergarten, like before school, I would have experiences that I realized people around me weren't having, seeing things, hearing things, sensing things. It was as if when the adult spoke, it was so evident to me when they were not telling the truth, when they were lying to themselves, to each other. And not that people go around lying all the time, but we tell each other these like white lies, and we put on fake smiles, and we pretend, and we act to be something we're not. And to me, it was like, you know, like, isn't everyone seeing this? And I remember, this is actually a story I haven't told, but I want to tell it. So I was a little bit older, and our princess in this country, in Norway, where I'm from, she came out some years ago, it was several decades ago now, I think, with similar experiences to mine, which was a huge controversy in Norway at the time. It still is sometimes. And I remember her being on a talk show saying, explaining to the talk show host, like, if your knee hurts, I will feel pain in my knee. And I wouldn't always know if it was mine or if it was yours. And I think I was a teenager when I saw this. And my jaw dropped. Because I was like, wait, doesn't everyone experience that? Because I was exactly the same. And I was like, I didn't understand that that was not how everyone experienced life. Like coming into a room and being able to read so detailed between the lines of everyone's emotion and getting details about everything. I didn't understand that other people were not experiencing this. But in like where I was from, this wasn't normal. And I experienced it as not being very welcomed. So at some point, I shut it off. I don't quite know how old I was, but I think it was when I started school. Like, of course, I had experiences. And when I was a teenager is when I started opening up to this again. But it was just all over the place because I didn't know how to cultivate it. It was just like random experiences I would have, random information I would receive without people telling me anything. And because I'm from a place where education is very valued, and I think a lot of people can resonate with, you know, you need to get an education, like you need to go to university, you need to blah, blah, blah. And intuitively, I think I wanted to understand where all of this was coming from. My experience of life and me feeling like I was different. Now, being 30 years old, I understand that I'm not actually that different. But a lot of people just shut this off. And they don't have contact with this part of themselves. And so I went on to study. First, I started psychology, but I changed to philosophy, which to people around me was like, what the heck are you going to use philosophy for? But for me, it was a way to step into understanding the world, because philosophy is quite misunderstood. Because today we have all these sciences, you have biology and chemistry and physics and neuroscience, like you have all these sciences. But before they were a science, they were philosophy. It was just philosophy. Scientists back in the day, on the 18th and the 19th, before the 18th and 19th century, they were philosophers. All the well-educated people were philosophers. And so I got really interested in two things. One being the philosophy of religion, because I wanted to understand that spiritual part, not from a theological perspective, but from like a historical perspective, like why is this so important to people? Because the experiences that I had felt spiritual. So why is that such great importance to everyone? Because you have religion everywhere, or spirituality everywhere, in every culture. And the other part I focused on was what we call natural philosophy, which is the history of science. So before physics became physics, before chemistry became chemistry, they were natural philosophy. And so I was studying and understanding how all these sciences came about. And in that, I was introduced to science. And when I went to school, like before university, I hated science because I am not a mathematician. I don't understand mathematics. But coming into philosophy and natural philosophy, I was introduced to the sciences after the math, after the mathematics. So the scientists have done the calculations, and Einstein said that, you know, physics is understanding the world, and mathematics is just the language we use. That's paraphrased. It's not like an actual quote. I don't remember exactly how he said it, but he said something along the lines. And so I don't understand the language of these sciences. But when that language is translated into English away from mathematics, I understand it and I fell in love with it. All of a sudden, subjects like physics was super interesting to me. And I didn't even know I had it in me. You know what I mean? And so when I started understanding a little bit more about that, I was introduced to studying trauma and more about the brain. And excuse me that the emails are going off. I don't know how to turn it off without muting you. So when I was doing my postgraduate, so I've studied 6 years at university. So I've written 2 master dissertations. And when I did my postgrad, I did it in communications. And I was asked to write a thesis on the benefit of yoga for children with trauma. One of my professors wanted to collaborate with me and do that together. And so we did. So I dove straight into trauma, understanding the brain, understanding more about psychology, more about neuroscience, and combining what I know about trauma and the structure of the brain and then physics, things started becoming more clear to me that all of this is interlinked. And what I see a lot of people do, they divide them. You either do this or you do that. You know, you either do physics or psychology or neuroscience. And I wanted to be like, well, can't we just like join it together? Because they all work kind of together when we piece them together. And then the last little bit of this story, which now ended up being very long, is that simultaneously, I was battling a very severe anxiety. I don't want to use the word disorder, but for the lack of a better word, disorder. I've experienced about 15,000 or 2,000, no, 1,500 or 2,000 panic attacks. And I was dealing with this while I was killing it at uni, because I did quite well. And I was introduced to a coach. Her name is Hannah Alonso. I will give her credit for that. And her, what she calls the School of Integrative Healing. She started a school where she also, like me, combined a lot of these elements and provided me with another way, like a holistic, wholesome way of healing. And within 4 months, I was anxiety free. 4 months. So that's where I learned more of the somatic healing, like the bodily exercises. So I already knew it from a scientific kind of understanding, but that experience was yet to be integrated in my body. And that's where she came in and provided me with that experience. And after working with her, I had a conversation with her, and she was like, can't you offer something of your own where you kind of put everything that you've experienced and everything that you've done into one piece? And that's when I started Camille's Container. Kind of just sat down like, what do I know? And realizing I know so much and unifying it into courses and offers that can help people either heal, you know, mental health, like improve their mental health, manifestation, money mindset, money work. I also work with relationships. I work with confidence, because the theory is the same. The practices are the same, no matter what part of your life you're implementing it with or to. Yeah. So that's the story.
Thank you.
Biography.
Thank you for sharing, because it gives context to what's the perspective that you coming towards to this conversation. And as you just explained, you come from many different perspectives, and I love that you have explored so many different areas of science and just looking at the world and how we work as humans. So let's dive deep into the topic of money, because I know it's a topic that everyone loves or maybe hates. We have such different relationships with money. So I would love to hear your perspective on, like, what do people need to know about neuroscience, our emotions, and all these things, how they affect how we're doing financially in our lives?
Yeah, that's a good question. And it's such an important one. I was actually creating a piece of content for Instagram today. I haven't posted it yet, but related to exactly this. Okay, let's start with the brain. So your brain is a record of the past, and your brain is a part of your nervous system. We've all heard, you know, nervous system. Like, what is that? You know what I mean? Like, you hear it all the time. You need to regulate your nervous system. You need to calm down your nervous system. You need to relax your nervous system. Well, what the heck is your nervous system? Well, your nervous system is divided into the central and the peripheral, and the central being your brain and your spinal cord, and the peripheral being from the spinal cord to every part of your body. And the nervous system communicates both ways, from the brain to the body and from the body to the brain. Now, we are just animals at the end of the day, and our nervous system, it's only, you know, the last 100, 200 years that we have lived very sophisticated the way we do now, and maybe even 500, 600 years where we have lived, you know, very sophisticated and more protected. But our nervous system was not developed in this time. You know, we are Homo sapiens, we are an animal, and our nervous system was developed way back when. And of course we evolve, but our nervous system hasn't evolved in the same speed that our, you know, society has evolved. So we are more primal, we are more animalistic than our society. And so our brain and our nervous system just wants you to survive. It has one main job, and that is to just keep you alive. That's what it wants. And so your brain is a record of the past. It means that it stores memories, it stores information, and uses that as fact to predict the immediate future. And just to break it down even a little bit more, you know, 95% of our brain is on autopilot. It's automatic, because our brain is such a complex, kind of like a computer. And if our brain was to manually operate itself, we would be exhausted. It would be impossible. It's too complicated. So it needs to create automatic processes. And these processes are called neurological pathways. They're like a communication system. About 80, 90% of our brain was developed by the age of 5. I think it's like 80% before age of 3, and then 90% by the time you're 5. So all these, like most of these communication networks, were developed when you were very little. And then obviously changes can occur as an adult, but it's a more complex process than when we are at that sponge age, right? We've heard that before, like babies and kids, small kids are like sponges. That's what this means, right? And so what about money? You have all these facts about money in your brain that your brain considers factual, but in fact, they're subjective truths. So an objective truth would be that money exists. It would be that water is wet. That's true whether I'm me or whether I'm you. Water is always going to be wet. I can be Barack Obama and water is still wet. But if I tell you that money is fun, there might be someone listening to the this podcast feeling their belly kind of not, like, kind of tighten up and be like, no, it's not. Because we have different truths about money. Now, I can say, I remember when my coach said that money was fun. And when I heard that the first time, I was like, she's crazy. What the hell? Because to me, one, money was just not fun. Money was exhausting. Money was heavy. Money was hard. Money was difficult. Money was just the source to so much pain and hardship. And so when we want to change our financial situation, we first need to identify what kind of truths, like what kind of beliefs, and belief is just a thought you keep thinking, it's those neurological pathways. What kind of beliefs are you currently holding about money? So you can do exercises like fill in the blank. Money is, money feels like, rich people are. In order to get money, I have to fill in the blank. Exercises like that to identify what I am considering truth about money. And then we come into physics because, well, why does that matter what I think about money? Well, there are 12 natural laws of physics, and physicists believe them to be true regardless of where in the universe you are. So like gravity, they apply always. I cannot wake up in the morning and be like, I don't feel like gravitating towards the earth today. So I choose that gravity doesn't apply to me. I can't do that. And it's the same with these natural laws of physics and the natural laws of the universe. The difference between those 12 laws that I'm going to tap into and gravity is that gravity is not universal. If I'm at the moon, gravity doesn't apply. So gravity is relative to planet Earth and perhaps other planets, but it's not universally true across the universe. But scientists believe that these 12 laws are. And the first is, we're not going to go through all 12 of them, but the first is everything is energy. Energy, energy, energy. If you ask a physicist, what is energy? They will say energy is. Energy is. Everything, it's everywhere, it's constant, it's just constant. It can't cease to exist, and it can't start to exist. It is, it can change, it can evolve, it can adapt, it can move, it can transform, but it'll always be energy. And then you have the law of vibration, which says that energy is vibrating, it moves, it's always vibrating. And then you come into the infamous law of attraction, which states that energy likened to itself attract. And this is where it gets interesting, because our thoughts create an emotion in the brain. When these neurons in this neurological pathway communicate with each other, there is an electrical signal that is transformed into like a chemical charge. And this chemical is your feeling, it's your emotion. Now, your emotion holds a vibration. And this vibration will, according to the law of attraction, attract energy which is likened to itself. So if I think that money is hard and I get a tight feeling in my stomach, I am going to attract experiences where that feeling relative to money persists and continues to be, right? And what a lot of people do is that they, when they think they ask for money, and when they think they ask for, you know, wealth, what they're really sending out is lack. Because the universe doesn't understand your words per se. It understands vibration. So in order to attract and change, you know, your financial situation, you need to change your relationship to money so that your vibration is different, so that you attract actually what you want rather than the lack of what you want, which is what a lot of people focus on.
I love this.
So complex theory, but you see why it's so useful to combine the neuroscience and the physics?
Yes.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And I am not a mathematician. Like, you don't need to understand the calculations. I trust that the scientists are calculating right. Okay. Mm-hmm. What I am trained at is reading research. That is what I spent 6 years doing at university, is research. Mm-hmm. And so I am able to look at a physics research paper and understand it and critically look at it without understanding the mathematics. Mm. And so when I then give this information, I'm passing it forward, you know, other people that listening can take this information and be like, okay, let's apply it. You know?
So how do we change our emotions around money? I feel like identifying how we, like, what is true about money to us, it's relatively easy to just think about, like, what thoughts come up when you think about money. But emotions are, in my experience, a bit trickier and take a lot more focus and a lot more practice. So how should we approach changing our emotions around money?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I love that you're focusing on emotions, because a lot of people come to me and they're like, manifestation doesn't work because, you know, I have changed the way I think about it and it doesn't work. And I'm like, well, have you changed the way you feel about it? Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, that is what your vibration is. So when you think a thought, you create an emotion. What the brain does is that it takes that emotion and uses it as information. And then the brain is like, let's find more supportive thoughts to this emotion. And it creates this circle, and you can spiral your way down emotionally. So when you want to change your emotions around money, first we identify what we think about money currently. Okay. I don't need to know where it came from. I don't need to know who said it. I don't need to know the story behind it, because that's where a lot of people, you know, you go to therapy and you talk about it and you talk about it and you explain when it happened and what happened and how old you were and how young you were and just all the details around it. And what your brain does is just like, your brain doesn't understand the difference between what is happening now and what you're thinking about. So your brain is just sending the same signals out into the rest of the nervous system, creating all these emotions within you of just feeling very bad. So first we want to just identify what it is that we think about money, and be like, okay, that's what it is. And now I want you to take each sentence that you have or each word that you have related to money, and I want you to replace it not with the word that you think is the opposite, because it's so easy, right? If I say money is bad, well, money is good, it's the opposite. But if I say money is good and that doesn't feel good, doesn't matter, that's not the word. So you find what you currently think about money, and then you find better feeling thoughts. So you find substitutes, replacements that feel better than the original thought. And then you practice that for a while. And then you practice, and then you continue. Then you practice that for a while, and you continue. And you practice that for a while. And you climb your way up the emotional ladder relative to money. But be, Because you have money's complicated to a lot of people because it's so necessary in today's society that we hold a lot of trauma related to it. So it is useful to learn somatic release processes to release the trauma from the memory of your body. And you can do that through like learning various release processes. You can do it through breath work. And I'm not talking pranayama like we do in yoga. It's not going to be as sufficient. I would do breath work, like psychedelic breath work, like a proper like process around it. And do that not just once. but regularly, according to like, if you go into psychedelic breathing, like obviously follow the guidelines for psychedelic breathing, you know what I mean? But because that takes care of the emotional part of your memory as well. But something that everyone can do just right off the bat at home, find better feeling thoughts. Yeah. That's the first step.
Yes. How do we, I was just immediately thinking of, or well, I notice in myself that I have these seasons when I'm like so deep in like developing myself in certain area, and then I'll work on my money mindset, my money beliefs, how I feel about money. And then I kind of get distracted by life, and then it kind of goes as like waves. So I started thinking about, if you have any recommendations for like daily, what kind of daily, small daily habits can people incorporate in their lives to keep themselves on that state of attracting the things that they want to attract in their lives?
Yes, I'm going to come with the classic example. But the reason being, energy vibrates and it holds a momentum. But also, the neurological pathways in your brain holds momentum. And they're very activated, and most likely, especially relative to money, you have practiced these beliefs for so long. Beliefs, now we understand, equals vibration through that process that I've explained. So it kind of like, it's the same thing now, kind of the process, but you understand. I hope. So meditation. Okay, let me break it. Let me go back. Your brain is a record of the past, and it is using your past in the present moment to predict the immediate future, but it's on autopilot. When you step in the present moment and you quiet your mind, your nervous system is going to relax, and it's only from a relaxed place where you can actually create changes. Because when your body is not in rest and repair, your body is in a stress response, which can be fight flight, but it could also be chronic stress or even going into the third stage of exhaustion. And imagine yourself being in a burning house, and I'm coming and asking you, Vera, what's 58 times 62? Your brain is going to be like, what the hell am I going to use that for? It's not going to be a priority, because your priority is survival. When you are in a stress response, that's what your body is trying to fight. It's trying to fight fire. It's trying to fight lions. It's trying to fight tsunamis. Like, it's trying so hard to keep you alive, because your brain doesn't understand that you not catching the bus to then be late for work, to then be stressed about a meeting, to then be stressed about picking your kids up from school, to then be stressed because everything, it doesn't understand that they are very superficial stressors, because you're just constantly stressed. To your body, you're in the middle of a fire. And so when you meditate on a regular basis, you allow your nervous system to go into rest and repair, where you can actually make changes. But from a physics and energetics perspective, you also stop momentum of what you're having. What also happens, these two combine, is that when you practice being in rest and repair on a more regular basis, you are actually more fit to make mindful adjustments when you come into a situation where you feel like you lack money, for example. So, but we need to practice it. I like to use the example of toddlers. So I have worked with kids. So I studied yoga for kids with trauma. So I've been working with kids. It's only recent time that I started working with adults. And if I am with the toddler and that toddler is having, you know, a breakout in the middle of the classroom, that's not when I start teaching that child about breathing. That's when we implement what we already know. So when you meditate on a regular basis, you are more fit to learn new things in your brain, and that makes you more fit to actually implement what you have learned when shit hits the fan. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So meditate. Step one. Step two. Write on a daily basis, every day, I want you to write out a list of appreciation, because appreciation is among the highest vibrating emotions we can have. It's in that space of happiness, love, abundance, but appreciation is neutral to most people. If I talk about abundance, a lot of bodies go like, they tighten up. If I talk about love, although unconditional love is very high vibrating frequency, there's so much baggage following that. Appreciation is very neutral to most people. So write down a list of appreciation. And the reason we do this is you practice writing something that feels good. But it's not relative to a topic that you have a lot of limitations about. So it allows you to train the brain and the body to find better feeling thoughts. So what I will do with my clients is that I will get them to write 10 things they appreciate, but it needs to feel good. So some days it's like, I appreciate my bank account, I appreciate my boyfriend, I appreciate my life. You know, other days, me included, sitting there like, I appreciate the plant. I appreciate, you know what I mean? I appreciate the color on my wall. Like, it can be that basic, so long as it feels good. And then when you master quite easily writing out 10, you can move your way up to 15 and 20. And I am writing every morning out 50 things I appreciate. And it takes me like that because I've practiced it. But when you start, I don't want you to start with 50 because it's going to feel exhausting. You know what I mean? But you see why we do it. And I want to emphasize this is because I want you to practice focusing on what feels good in a neutral topic, because when you meditate, you calm your nervous system down. Now you're learning to find better feeling thoughts, and all of this will make you more capable, because right now it doesn't feel like this is related to money at all. But when you practice this and you master this and you come into a situation where you feel like you don't have money, you are more capable of doing the same things with money. You see, because you have practiced it. It's like the professional athlete is not going to come to the Olympics and doing their first run. No, they have practiced running at their home stadium for years. It's kind of the same thing, you know? So those are definitely the two things I would do. And then I would actually When I'm in a good place, so when money isn't a topic for me, I'm feeling good, I'm having a good moment, put pen to paper and explore what your current beliefs are about money. And then see if you can replace them and start practicing that appreciation exercise with money. But I want you to be mindful of when you start that. Because if your car just got declined at the store and you come home and you start this exercise and you haven't, I can do that now. If I am in a financial tough situation, I can go straight into working on the money mindset. But that's because I practiced this work for a long time, you know? So I want you to start that money mindset work when you are relaxed. Maybe the day you got paid. You know what I mean? Like the day you got paid, because usually, even though maybe your pay isn't as high as you want, maybe your pay is not covering all your expenses. What do I know? But the day you get paid, people are usually like, oh, that's a relief. You know what I mean? So yeah.
I love these, and I love how you explain the like gratitude and appreciation, like the science behind it and like why it's so important, because we hear that all the time that this is the tool that everyone should be using, but like you explained it in such a great way. So I really hope that people are listening, paying attention and starting today this new habit, and definitely with meditation as well.
I want to say though, the reason I say appreciation, and I love that you brought up the word gratitude, because I learned this from one of my teachers. Appreciation is neutral. Gratitude holds a vibration of I'm grateful for this, except that, or despite this. A lot of people don't feel it right away when I say it, but everyone that I've worked with so far have understood that tweak eventually.
Yeah.
So appreciation is completely neutral. There is no strings attached to it. Gratitude has a string attached to it. So that's why we use appreciation over gratitude. But it's very common to talk about gratitude.
Yeah.
The gratitude is like, I don't have all the money, but I'm grateful anyway. It's like, no, it has a string attached to it. But it's a very fine tuning in vibration. But when we can choose, let's choose appreciation.
I love that. Yes, because oh my God, you're totally right. And now when I think about it, I feel like sometimes people struggle to feel kind of grateful. Like I feel like it's easier to appreciate something versus to be grateful for something. Like I can see, I don't know how to explain it, but I can feel the difference in like how it feels of what you can say that you're grateful for, but then appreciating things just, yeah, definitely feels more neutral. So I love that you brought that up. Definitely.
You feel it, because even though you can't quite like put your words to it yet, it's that feeling of yes, it's right. I don't understand quite yet why, but it is right. I love that. I love that. I was the same when I first heard it. I was like, wait, what? And then I was like, she is right, but what? You know what I mean? Yeah, I had the same thing.
Yeah, it feels different. What would you say are the biggest challenges, but especially let's focus on people who are starting a business and are, I don't know specifically what type of people you work with, but when people are making like big life changes and maybe the financial security is a bit wobbly, and I don't know if you've noticed like some very common challenges that people have with related to money, and maybe like, you know, selling, asking for money, and these type of limitations. Do you have any thoughts on like what are the most common challenges that you see?
Yeah, it's yes. One of the red threads I see is that we see money as something bad and money as something not to talk about. Money as kind of this like it holds like a negative connotation for a lot of people. And I want to introduce the idea that money, it's neutral. Money is it's the energy of exchange. And we created the system of money to make exchange easier. Because back in the day, you would change apples for bananas, you know? But now that made you dependent on everything you needed. You were dependent on the other person wanting your apples. So we created money to have this in-between link so that exchange was easier. And money is like an amplifier. Money itself is neutral, but it amplifies what you have. It amplifies what you are. Not that you aren't worthy or enough on your own, but it allows you to do more. It allows you to be more. Well, be more. It's like you are innately perfect as a human being. That's not what I'm talking about, but I think people understand what I'm saying. That it's, so I think that the first step is to not make money the villain.
Yeah.
And then understand, like, universal energy is love. When you look at just vibration and energy as just an existing force, it's love. That's what people call God. I'm not going to bring religion into this, but the vibration is like that. And money is that. Money is just energy. So if you think it's bad, then it's going to be bad. You know what I mean? And it's going to be harder for you to get it because you don't want bad things in your life. And if you think that money makes bad people, you're not going to attract money because you don't want to be a bad person. So just like strip money itself from all of these negative kind of names that we have given it, because money isn't bad at all. And so that's the first one. And then when you strip money from that, you remove a lot of the problems, because suddenly it's not bad having money, right? Because money is neutral. Why would you wouldn't like look at a person and think you have a lot of trees. Like, I think you should like step away from all the trees that you're having, because the trees are making you a bad person. you're not gonna be mad at somebody owning a forest. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you can think of money the same way, that it's just, and it's, and the other thing is, a lot of people, like, there is this like sensation of it being limitless, like limited. But we create money all the time. Today, you don't even have the hard cash a lot of places. It's like, it's just numbers in the bank. You know what I mean? Like, money is unlimited. So you generating wealth is not preventing me. It's not like you are, because I think a lot of people see wealthy people and they're like, they're so selfish because they're taking all this money. And it's like, well, they're not taking your money. They just learned how to generate it for themselves. Like, if you learn to generate money, that person is not going to have less money, because it's just going to be more of it. That's how energy works. It's expansion. The universe is constantly expanding, and money is a part of that. So if we can look at money as more neutral and not something bad, we remove a lot of the problems, because suddenly you're not selfish, you're not a bad person for wanting it, you are not taking away from somebody else. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would be my first kind of go to, and then looking at what is left for you. If you take away that from money and you make money neutral, then what beliefs do you have left related to money? You know, because for me, a lot of them went away. You know what I mean? Yeah. But for me personally, it was like, money is bad. Rich people are bad. Money ruins families. Get a lot of money, it's the source to conflict. No, it's not. It's not the source to conflict. It's not. People and wanting more, like, there are so many other things that are the source to conflict. Money in and of itself is not it. People do that.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, I love that you brought all of those things up because they're so common and such a core, like common core beliefs that our society has. And I think we all need a wake up call from those beliefs and really start looking at our beliefs and questioning, how do I benefit from these beliefs? Like, what are these beliefs doing to me and my financial situation, and then, you know, affecting all of our lives. So I love that. You're bringing up so many amazing perspectives. I love this. Is there anything else before we wrap up the conversation around money that you want to mention about it? What's in
there
your
was one example that just came to mind that one of my teachers say a lot, and I love it. She says that, you know, you can't feed the hungry if you're hungry yourself. You can't house the homeless if you yourself don't have a home. You can't school the unschooled if you don't yourself have access to schooling. Having access to money is going to amplify the service that you want to provide into the world.
Yes. Yeah. That's so true.
Access. And I want people to understand that you wanting money is not bad. It's very understanding, because it's going to open so many doors for you of things to do and places to go and conversations to have. And so, yes, one thing I would like to mention, and we hear this on Instagram all the time, you know, like, put yourself in a place where people have money, you know, put yourself in conversations with people that are already living what you want. And it's true, because when we know how the brain works, you want to create a new truth about money in your brain. So when you are in conversation with people that have normalized money and that sees money as a fun, playful thing, it's going to be easier for you to adapt to that lifestyle and to that mentality. Me and my friends, we talk about money. We talk about how much we earn. We talk about how much we want. We talk about our expansion. We talk about how much we charge, because some of us are entrepreneurs, but some of us are not. We talk about it, because it allows us to expand together. It allows us to open the conversation. And so many of us have been like, oh, I can, you receive that every month? Oh, I want more. Let me, how can I do that? And then they create avenues for themselves to do that and to achieve that. And so they have, and so they did. But they would, like, a lot of us wouldn't have been exposed to that if we didn't actually talk about it. So we talk about it in a very loving, very enthusiastic way. And not being shameful of it, because I think a lot of people are shameful of it. Like, no, you can't ask somebody how much they earn, you know?
Yeah. I love that you brought that up, because, yeah, I was immediately thinking of the fact of, like, how money is such a taboo and, like, such a shameful topic, and how disempowering it is to people that it's a topic that we shouldn't be talking about. And even I know that if I'm going to name this episode with the word money in it, it's going to trigger some people and they're going to be like, you know, it's such a divisive, taboo, and emotionally charged topic, which we just all need to heal from all that, like, mm-hmm. let go of that shame, let go of the it being a taboo, and yeah, take it as a neutral topic, because that's what it really is. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, like, it's, it might, like, if, like, having money in the title will trigger someone, but it will also attract someone who is ready to change, yeah. who is ready to step up for themselves, who is yes. ready for more. You know, and you can't do something before you're ready. We're all on our own little journey of evolution. I remember when I first mentioned money, and I had this 1 month in November last year that was, you know, super great for me. And I shared it on Instagram, and someone in my family was like, Mila, you can't do that. You can't talk about that. It was this, like, it was this one, like, element of this, disgust, at the same time fear of me being canceled, you know, because it's like, it's because it's such a triggering topic for people.
Yeah,
but I explained to the person that, but that is the point, I want to talk about it, I want to normalize it, and it has for sure, like, invited some conversations into my life and some people into my life, and it's great. And then when the people that are being triggered right now, you know, maybe one day they'll be ready for it.
Exactly.
Maybe our trigger was one little stone that they needed to build in order to be ready themselves to talk about it.
Could be. Yeah.
Yeah.
So last thing I want to ask you is, where are you headed in life? What's the vision? What's the impact? What's the change you want to create? And how can people follow you creating that change? Where do you want to direct them?
Yes. I want to take difficult topics, difficult emotionally because they're loaded, like money, but also difficult topics like physics and neuroscience and neuroplasticity, and make it digestible for people and make it very easily accessible for people, so that as many people as possible can benefit from understanding these incredible concepts and understanding how to use them as a tool to actually create their own lives. Because it's a sentence we hear, can create your own life, and it's almost like a cliche at this point, but when you understand the science behind it, you're like, no, but you can, like, you're actually doing it right now, but you're doing it without, like, knowing it. You are not deliberate about it, but you're doing it. So I want to do that. I want to just talk about all kinds of topics, like money. I love talking about money, talking about mental health, because I myself battled with anxiety for so long, and I healed, and I fully healed, like, in such a short period of time, 4 months after 13 years. So I want to normalize that and make that accessible and available for people. And also just change the way we talk to children about this. But that's another topic. So people can find me at Camilla's Container. So it's Kamillas Container. So I write my name with a K. Camilla's Container on Instagram and on Facebook. And you can find me there. Send me a DM if you want. Hit me up. And I have all kinds of offers already out and coming out this year. So exciting.
Exciting. And I just want to say that you're definitely already doing what your mission is. You were just doing it for the last, I don't know how long we talked, an hour. Like, you're making this information more understandable and accessible. So you're living your purpose, and that makes me so happy, and you're so good at it. So thank you so much for sharing your knowledge, and I'm so inspired by your journey and by how, like, motivated, but like dedicated you are to figuring all these things out and then sharing your knowledge with the world. So thank you for doing that.
So much. I appreciate it. And same to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.